Today on the Inland Journal podcast, we near the end of our conversations with the seven candidates running for a Spokane City Council seat in the Northeast District. It's the seat now held by Mike Fagan. Fagan is running for council president, so this will be an open seat. There are two candidates we have left to talk to. Today, Louis Lefevre. Lefevre works as an emergency dispatcher in the combined Spokane City-County emergency system. He will soon lose his job, as he will tell us, and that played into his decision to run for city council.
So my name is Louis Lefevre. I've lived in District 1 since I moved to Spokane. I went to Gonzaga, studied criminal justice. I did running start, so I graduated Gonzaga early, so I was only 20 years old, and I was looking to be a cop or in law enforcement. But when you're 20 years old, you can't have a gun, you can't go into a bar. So that kind of slowed that down a bit. So from there, I went over to 911 and was there doing 911 calls, crime check for 5 years. And, you know, I like that aspect of it as well.
So you're a dispatcher is what you're saying.
And then currently I'm a dispatcher at the fire department.
Gotcha. Okay. Uh-huh. So you were a dispatcher in the police department and now a dispatcher in the fire department.
Not technically a dispatcher. It's more of a call taker and a report writer.
Gotcha.
So when you call crime check, you know, get your car broken into, you know, whatever other issues that you may be seeing, I was the one to answer those calls. Yeah. And then I went over to the fire department and that's where I've been since.
So what do you like about being a dispatcher?
I like being able to hear everything. It really is fun. And also when you are in the field, you only get to go to so many calls a day. You know, time constraints. You go to a vehicle theft report, that's going to take you an hour. You go to a heart attack call, that's going to take you an hour. But me, I can get 100 phone calls a day sometimes, you know, just one after another. So I really feel like I can relate to a lot more people. And if you can get your 100 phone calls, that's just so many more citizen contacts that I find enjoyable.
So are you one of the folks who, with the city deciding not to go with the regional dispatch center, how are you affected by that?
City Council decides Monday, actually.
Okay.
So they are still undecided. But yes, I've already received a layoff letter from the City of Spokane Fire Department. So I'm going to be joining the new agency that they're creating. It's going to be the same people in the same room, just dispatching for the other side. So
I guess I should say we're recording this on June the 19th, which is a Wednesday. So I guess we're sort of foreshadowing what might happen with the city council.
Yeah. So Monday, it'd be the 24th. That's when the decision is. And from there, the true decision process will be made. But yeah, in the meantime, I already have received that layoff letter. And, you know, it's an uncertainty in my life. So
did that affect your decision to run for city council?
It did. Yeah. Because I've been interested in politics, but being a city employee, you can't have two city jobs at the same time. Well, now I'm getting laid off, so that allowed me to enter the race because it'd be a county job that I'm working at. Another part of that is my wife works over at Rogers. You know, we live about 4 blocks south of there, and she was also in the group that got laid off there. So between her uncertainties and my uncertainties, it was, you know, this is as good a time as any to go out and try to do our best to help the people.
Interesting times in your household, huh?
Exactly.
Yeah. So as you enter the city council race, what are the issues that are foremost in your mind?
For me, it's the public safety side. You know, several years ago when they got rid of like the vehicle theft reports. So I think it was 2012. Officers no longer went to those reports. And I thought that was a bad community service thing. You know, the police side, the community service, those need to be intertwined. And so I think we need to get back to having the government be, you know, with the best interests of the city at heart. And then also when they got rid of the property crime detectives, you know, that was something that I'm still hearing about when I go door knock. It's, well, what are they doing about it? And yes, I have to tell them, yes, there is a property crime thing now. They're investigating those, but it's still the perception of it. So that, and then also the affordable housing, you know, being District 1, I'm a big Zillow fan. You look on Zillow all the time and the prices just keep creeping up and affordability just keeps dropping.
So let's talk about housing a minute. I want to go back to the, how would you as a city council member address the property crime thing and changing that perception that it's not safe in the community?
So I think the perception of it is more about an educational side and a visual awareness. You know, if people aren't seeing officers in the neighborhood, if when they call they don't feel like they're getting a response, you know, as easily as someone calling them back, someone driving by every so often, I think that would do a lot just to get that perception of it. With the recent Prop 1 that was passed last year, the additional firefighters along with the additional officers, I think that was a great way to try to assist both agencies because those are fundamental in my area. You know, people need to feel safe in their neighborhoods, and also if they're having a medical fire emergency, to get someone there in a response that's, you know, adequate for what they're seeking.
Would you continue to try to find more money within the general fund to continue to hire more cops and others for the public safety agencies?
I think I would try to do a combination of that along with partnering with other agencies. Currently, you know, mental health has a program with both the fire department and the police department, trying to put one of their, you know, members and employees with an officer or with a fire crew, just to try to, you know, get the information firsthand as quick as possible. So maybe not necessarily entirely officer or firefighter side, but if you combine that with the other partnerships that we already have, you know, and you add one and one together, it's two, and that's a bigger, more powerful, you know, first contact in a lot of those.
If I recall correctly, the fire department has one Frontier mental health person riding along, and the cops have four from Frontier.
Yeah, so with the fire department, I like the program. You know, from, you know, when I dispatch them out, they go out there and they really spend the time to talk to the individual that they get to. The only problem is it's Monday through Thursday, 9 to 6 or something like that. So it's just not meeting the needs, because when you happen to call 911 or have a problem, it's not necessarily Monday through Thursday. So expanding on that, just even 7 days a week, and that's okay, then we go from 1 to 2. Again, that's a better response for our community and for the overall system as a whole as well.
Yes. Do you know people in your neighborhood who have had break-ins in their house? Is it a serious situation in where you live?
A few break-ins, but, you know, it's a vehicle prowlings, you know, and that's one that it hurts because you have faith in your community. And then when something like that happens, it takes away the pride. And you want to make sure that even if it happens once, that's too many times. Because then you start questioning, you start losing that faith in your own area.
So you talked about affordable housing. What is the city's role in creating more low-income housing, workforce housing, or in helping others to do it?
I think the affordable housing portion would be an increase in housing. You know, we have a lot of vacant land up in District 1. You know, you drive up Monroe, or not Monroe, this is Monroe. You drive up Nevada, go past Magnesium. There's a lot of area. So if we could try to do zoning laws or, you know, other little projects to try to facilitate more housing growth and development, I think that would increase the jobs. Because first off, if you're building 100 new houses in these areas, that's a lot of jobs, first off. And then the people come in, and when they move into those houses, that opens up their other house for whoever else was maybe doubled up or whatnot to get them as well.
So what types of incentives are appropriate to help encourage developers to do more housing there?
That's one that I'm still learning about. Yeah, it's, again, I think the zoning laws are an easy, quick way to do that. Recently what happened over on the South Hill off Crestline, you know, they vacated some of the road, it allowed for the new development. If you can do those type of projects where it doesn't necessarily cost money to do it, it's just a change in standard working procedures, or you put one road in and there we go, the cost of one road created a whole neighborhood in that case.
We're talking with Spokane City Council candidate Louis Lefevre. So let's talk about homelessness, since that is kind of the big issue. How do you think the city has handled the homelessness issue over the last few years?
I think that the focus has entirely been on the downtown section. I'm for warming shelters, you know, being at the fire department. I don't think it's right for people in the middle of winter to be outside. But at the same time, my area is concerned because when they go downtown, they see the people in the alleys, they see the people laying on the sidewalks. And so I think we have to be cognizant of, you know, not giving all the resources just to that, you know, because in our area, a lot of it is also families are doubled up. And that's not something I'm hearing any of the mayoral candidates talking about. You know, you have cousins living with aunts, And if we don't address those issues as well, then it'll just go downhill to the other ones.
Well, how would you address those issues then?
I recently had a talk with an area principal, elementary school, and he estimated there to be 50, 60 kids at his school that were homeless. And that number just, it blew me away, because these are kids that are in our area. So I think if we partner better with, you know, like a Family Promise, somewhere where it's a shelter, but it's designated for families, you know, those type of things where you can do a lot more than, you know, just help one person. You can help the whole family. And in that case, that's 4 or 5 people, and it can snowball to them getting a, you know, a stable housing, stable job. Kids hopefully do better in school because they don't have to transfer midway through the year.
So does the, and there's been talk about building or at least buying a 24/7 shelter for the city of Spokane. Do you agree with that?
I would have to look at the financials of it. I think it could be a good idea, just because people do need a place to go, especially in winter. You know, there has to be a spot. So I would have to expand more and learn more about the proposals and where it's going to be placed. Because I think if you do have a 24-hour shelter, it needs to be near the services already provided. You know, you can't have it off in the corner of the town, because then they're not going to be able to get to the mental health facilities, the urgent cares that they need to in addition.
So then do you believe in, I mean, we've heard candidates talk about dispersing shelters all around the town because rather than putting everybody in the downtown core, and yet you've just made the case that in many of those cases, those services are in certain areas that you need. So how would you handle that? What would your philosophy be on that?
I think it'd be a good idea to try to expand where those services are offered. You know, I don't think it's right to have them only in one spot. You know, if we had them in 1 or 2 or 3 places, okay, that's better for the area. It, you know, spreads everyone. And then if just me as a regular citizen need to go to those, be it SNAP or the welfare office, I don't want to have to go to only one spot anyway. If we can try to move them in 2 or 3, then you can expand those areas for just the regular people as well.
Should the city spend more money on homeless services, or should it spend more money to give to the private, the Volunteers of America and the others who are working with a lot of those folks?
I don't know if we should expand the funding of homelessness. I think we should.
Homeless services,
yeah,
I
homeless
think
services.
Is what we mean.
Yeah, homeless services. Yeah. I think you should more just reallocate it where it's not being used. Like if the House of Charity, say they got 120 beds, and for whatever reason they only have 40, 50 people going, you know, on certain days. Well, if there's open beds, why don't we just move some of that money over to the places that are showing an increase in, you know, visitation?
So as you look straight ahead of you, you see the Spokane County Jail, and there's a lot of talk these days about whether or not the jail is adequate for what it's supposed to be doing, whether it should be expanded, changed. What are your thoughts about that?
I think the jail costs a lot of money. What is it, $80 to $100 per day to house an inmate? And at that point, the $100, I don't think it necessarily takes into account all the courts, all the attorneys. I think that's more just the jail aspect of it. So the figure is more when you include the overall impact on the criminal justice system, the healthcare system. And from there, if they are talking about a new jail, I think it needs to be in combination with county. When you get to economies of scale at that point, having it larger, especially with our neighboring partner, you know, you only need one warden in that aspect. You know, you only have one major training supervisor instead of 2 or 3, depending on how it's broken up. So if I do, you know, get elected, it would be more, I'd want a partnership with the county in the aspect of we need to help, you know, everyone should go in on this.
There's also talk that any jail should have more services in it, mental health services or, you know,
nursing, yes.
Substance abuse services.
Yes.
Would you agree with that?
I do, yeah. I mean, because I've only been in the jail lobby a few times. You know, when I was over at 911, I did a couple ride-alongs, so I'd go in the lobby. And you just didn't see as much of that other service for when they come in. You know, oftentimes it's a very low point in the people's lives, so they're mentally not as stable. Oftentimes they're on substances or withdrawing. So a combination of, you know, the mental health, like you're saying, the nurses, just to make sure that we don't have, you know, negative occurrences, like what's there been, 9 deaths or something in the jail in the past couple of years. And that's a scary idea.
But it's more expensive to provide those services. Is it worth the money to have all that in, included as part of a facility?
I think it would be at that point. Again, it's a partnership where you add, if you add more services there, they can kind of snowball off each other and perform more efficiently as well. So while it will cost more, I think if you add them all together under one building, it may not be as much as if they're all individually separate.
Okay. So let's finish up. We're about 16 minutes into this. Give me an idea of why you are one of the best candidates in Northeast Spokane and why the voters should pick you over the other candidates in that race.
I think a part of it is because I've heard everything that's happened in the city. You know, everyone that's called 911 in the past, how many years, I'm the one you're talking to. You know, be it cars abandoned in the street, you know, other domestic issues that people have, you know, hearing people fighting outside. So I understand that it's tough to live in District 1. But at the same time, I want to live here. You know, my wife, a teacher over at Rogers, we enjoy this area. We want to do everything we can. And at the same time, being over at, you know, the dispatch side, I'm calm, but I'm firm at the same time. You know, I'm going to hear you out. I'm going to ask all the questions needed, but I'm going to be firm and try to get the best response for our area, because I think our district needs to be heard just as loudly as anyone else.
What do you say you've learned, and maybe we sort of talked about this, what do you say you've learned from being a dispatcher? I mean, what are some of the biggest lessons that you think you've taken because you've been in that job?
For me, it's the patience and just understanding that everyone, you know, is an individual. Everyone is experiencing their own hardships, and I try not to judge based on that. You know, just because this may have happened, I'm still going to ask the questions. I'm still going to treat you fairly. I'm not going to, you know, get those other mindsets to interact or, you know, interfere with what I'm trying to accomplish here. So just being open and ready to hear anything.
So, Lewis, are there anything that I didn't ask you about that you wanted to make sure I knew about, either about you or about your views on some issue or something like that?
I think the big things for our district, again, is the affordable housing, the schools. I know city council doesn't necessarily interact with the budget as much, but our area was hit, you know, unequally with all the layoffs. And I just want to make sure that going forward, that the city as a whole tries to do everything they can for the families, for the kids, and just for the neighborhood in general.
Lewis LaFever is one of the 7 candidates for Spokane City Council in the Northeast District and the 6th we've interviewed. We expect to talk soon with the 7th, Gerald Haynes. On Wednesday's podcast, we switch to the Northwest Council District and start a series of discussions with the candidates there. We've talked with 5 of the 6 who filed. Wednesday's program will feature Christopher Savage. You can hear our full interviews with the candidates for Spokane City offices on the Spokane Public Radio website. We're adding 1 candidate a day until we've gone through the list of about 24 candidates. You can find and listen to the interviews by clicking on the Regional News tab and then clicking on Election 2019, or just go to the Inland Journal page. You can subscribe to the Inland Journal podcast in Apple Podcasts, NPR One, or Google Play. Send your comments and story ideas to inlandjournal@kpbx.org. Thank you for joining us. I'm Doug Nadvornik.